Having seen then that the last judgment includes apostate angels, we see now that it also involves the whole human race. All persons who lived upon the earth, the paragraph says. Now, of course, the Bible is mainly taken up with this aspect of the judgment day, isn't it? The Bible briefly informs us of the judgment of apostate angels. Just lets us know. Doesn't go into it in a major detail, just a several passages here and there. But whenever it comes to talk about the judgment of all men, it's abundantly telling us. It's reminding us time and time again that all men shall be judged. You see, the Bible is not a book for demons to enlighten them about the judgment day, who are already aware of it. The Bible is a book to enlighten us sinners about the judgment day. And it's given to enlighten us about that day, that we might repent, that we might believe, that we might be prepared, and that we might ever walk carefully in the light of it. And so it's always reminding us of the judgment of men in that day. And the first paragraph, as I said, states, not only the apostate angel shall be judged, but likewise all persons, the emphasis on the all there, all persons that have lived upon earth shall appear before the tribunal of God. Now, he doesn't say all angels. The divines don't say that. Apostate angels, but then all men. All men. So this judgment of all persons is clear. That ever lived upon the earth, they say, will be brought before the tribunal. There is, of course, one exception. There is one person who is not brought before the tribunal, and that is because he is the judge. There is the person of the judge. That's why the divines are saying before the tribunal, not just of God, but the tribunal of Christ. There's one person who lived on the earth who's not being brought before the tribunal. There's one person who lived upon the earth who is the tribunal, and that's Messiah. That's Christ. He is the Son of Man to whom all judgment has been committed, as we saw. So that's the one exception. Now, the divines, in handling this matter of the judgment of men, and you'll see this quite a bit, they stress two things. Not only do they stress the universal nature of the judgment, all men, they also stress a dual nature in that judgment. That is, they recognize that all persons and the whole human race, while it is all present, is divided into two. There is the wicked and the righteous. Wicked persons and righteous persons. And that's the only twofold division that the divines speak about and recognize. And the Bible is always telling us about this too. The Bible is a book that is always talking about the righteous and the wicked. You see it everywhere throughout the whole of Scriptures. And these divines are following Scriptures in this regard. Bad angels are judged. But when it comes to men, good and bad men are judged. And good men are judged because, well, they were sinners and still are sinners, but are justified in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but they still need to be judged. And it's just that they're judged. All persons, whether righteous or wicked. So God knows a twofold division in the human race. And this division will eventually become evident in the judgment day. The Bible's talking about it all the time, but in the judgment day, everybody will see it. There's this twofold division. On the one side, the righteous, the sheep. On the other side, the wicked, the goats. And paragraph 2 talks about this in a wee bit more clarity. The end of God's appointing this day is for the manifestation of the glory of his mercy in the eternal salvation of the elect, and of his judgment, of his justice in the damnation of the reprobate, who are wicked and disobedient. For then shall the righteous go into everlasting life, but the wicked, who know not God, shall be cast into eternal torments. So that they see this twofold division of all humanity, the righteous and the wicked. Question 89, an answer. What shall be done to the wicked at the day of judgment? Question 90, what shall be done to the righteous at the day of judgment? So while they say all persons are brought before God, they then begin to differentiate and go out into the wicked and into the righteous, and how they are divided and how God deals with them differently, though both righteously. But this universal aspect of the judgment, if we just focus upon it in some of the proof texts, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now you'll notice here, this is about the judgment. The judgment of who? Of man. Mankind. This is the whole duty of man. Humanity. The whole duty of the human race is to keep his commandments, to do God's will. And then it says God will bring every work from all of humanity. Every thought, every sin, every secret thing from all of humanity into judgment. So the duty of man. And then Psalm 96, verse 13. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Now here there's no distinction. It's the world, it's the earth. Now, we're not talking about the mountains and the seas and the material creation. We're talking about the people of the earth and the people of the world. In fact, it's clearly stated at the end, he'll judge the earth, he'll judge the world, the people. The people of the earth, the people of the world. It's universal. It's the world judged. Not just part of the world, not just this nation and that nation, but the world populated by man. Then Matthew 25, we see some scenes of judgment in the words and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of those is in Matthew chapter 25. The Son of Man shall come in his glory, verse 31. All the holy angels with him. Now you notice here, the holy angels are with him. They're not appearing before him the way the sheep and the goats are. The holy angels are with him. They're not pictured as being judged. They are with him. He sits upon the throne of his glory, the great white throne. Before him are gathered all the nations, all the peoples, all the tribes. He'll separate them, one from another, as a sheep. Shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. But the key expression there is all. All are gathered before him, all the peoples, all the nations. Then Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. This is Paul's sermon to the Athenians. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere, wherever they are, whatever place, he commands all men everywhere to repent. And why are all men and every man, wherever they live, and whatever time they have appeared, why are they to repent? Because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, all, in that he've raised him from the dead. So there's several emphases there of the universality of this judgment. Romans 14, verse 10, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Not one brother is going to escape it. There's not one brother going to be left out. will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It is written, you see, verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. You see how, when it comes to speak about this judgment, all these universal terms keep pouring in. Every tongue, every knee, all men will all appear. So that every one of us, verse 12, Romans 14 we're still in, now verse 12, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. There's no one left out. All persons that ever lived upon the earth. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, there you have it again, all and every, Paul's always pouring it in the judgment day scene, we must all appear, everyone must give an account, everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So it's universalistic, it's universal, but yet it's also individual. Everyone that he, that the individual, every individual may give an account. Acts 10, verse 42, he commanded us to preach unto the people. This is Peter. Peter's saying this. And to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. So if you want to divide the living, all men into the living and the dead, and that's the way to divide men, everybody who's ever lived, they're dead now, he's going to be the judge of the dead. And if all men are alive, if there's still multitudes alive when the Lord comes back again, he's going to be the judge of them too, the judge of the living. There's nobody going to be left out. Not one who was buried, he's the judge of the dead. Not one who's left standing alive still, he's the judge of the quick, the living. This is how the Bible's always talk. It's always telling us so that no one's going to feel left out. It's all inclusive. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. There it is again, the living and the dead. Who shall give account, 1 Peter 4, verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. The apostles learned to talk like this, so that all the Christian congregations would know that nobody who dies is going to escape the judgment. He's going to judge the dead. But the living are also going to be judged. Revelation 20, verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. The dead were judged. So here's another classification of all the dead. Small and great. Well, maybe the small might be missed. Maybe there are some insignificant people who died. The small, the dead, the small dead. However you want to describe that small. Small in stature, small in office, small in riches, small in age, perhaps. Doesn't matter. The small and the great. Universal terms. And then you remember, Paul says to the Romans, what about looking at it another way? What about those who didn't have God's word, didn't have the law? Are they going to be judged? They didn't have the law. And others who did have the law, they had God's word. What about the heathen who didn't have a chance? What about the heathen who never heard about the Lord? Who never received the gospel? Who didn't even have the moral law? Well, Paul tells us about them. As many as have sinned without the law, they'll also perish without law. As many as have sinned in the law, they'll be judged by the law in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So again, God's going to judge the secrets of men. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they didn't have the law. Doesn't matter if they had the law. Obviously, there'll be a righteous differentiation, but still there'll be the judgment of them all. And then there's interesting words that our Lord Jesus Christ uses in Matthew's gospel. He says at Matthew 11, verse 22, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Now, Tyre and Sidon, There, the day of judgment. Capernaum. Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, you'll be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Now, nobody really knows where Sodom is. There are a few guesses. There are some archaeologists. They're fairly confident it's here or it's there. Some say it's in the Dead Sea, but we don't really know where it is. It can't be found. We don't know very much about it. It was wiped out. And yet the Lord Jesus says that the land of Sodom, the people of Sodom, will be in the day of judgment. They're dead. They're long dead. You can't even find any of their remains. They were completely burned up. But they'll be resurrected and they'll be in the judgment day. It'll be more tolerable for them than for Capernaum. Capernaum had Christ. Capernaum had the gospel. Capernaum had the miracles. Sodom didn't have any of that. It'd be more tolerable for them. But they'll still be judged. They'll still be judged. So it's universal. Universal. The men of Nineveh, Jesus said, shall rise in judgment with this generation and condemn it. The queen of the south, the queen of Sheba herself, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation. We're all going to come together in Jesus' generation day, Queen of Sheba's generation day, and our generation day as well. We're all going to come together, all persons that ever lived on the earth. So the scriptures are clear about this, that it is a universal judgment.